your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew, chapter 5. And so we'll get ready to look there tonight. I was going to preach on able to leap tall buildings at a single bound up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Brother Joe. Well, I'm saving that for a different time. Matthew chapter 5, you're able to stand, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. Lord, we do thank you, and oh, for a thousand hands to raise in honor of to the King. How we praise you, how we thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting, beside thee there is none else. Bless these requests now in accordance to thy will, and we'll thank you for saving the lost, lifting up the downhearted, setting the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on we're a blessed people. Now, whenever I look at that and I see that, that doesn't mean that just because you're a blessed person that there's not going to be some turmoil and battle fronts that you're going to face. We're just blessed that we're able to be strong enough to go through the battle and to face it and to be on the front line with God. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that we're talking about the beginning here in chapter number 5. Chapter 5 down through chapter 7 is what they call the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus Christ, there he's opened his mouth and this is his sermon. And it's good for us to just reread it over and over again and then try to be able to remember as much as we can, because here's a message that comes strictly and straight from the mouth of the Lord himself as he's speaking. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into this lesson, you'll find that the blessings of the Lord have been given to you and I, and that's the reason why that we live and move and have our being is because of the blessings of God that is upon us. God only knows where you and I'd be had it not been for the grace of God tonight. There's no telling where we would have been. I can tell you right now, you're not going to find any place better than in the mind of God, in the will of God, in fellowship with God. In the lesson we're looking at, you'll find that these are what they call the Beatitudes. And sometimes preachers will speak on that and say these are the attitudes that we ought to be. And let me say to you, there's many Beatitudes that are in the Bible. These are attitudes that we ought to be, and there's many more that are in the Bible. First of all, I want to say to you, when we read these two passages that are here, they're an introduction to the verse number 3 all the way down through verse number 9. It's an introduction to us about the blessedness. But let me give you two or three more real quickly, and I'd give them all to you. But in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3, you're going to find out, he said, blessed is he that readeth and that hear and that keep the sayings that are written in this book. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're a blessed person tonight if you hear the word of the Lord and you obey the word of the Lord and you keep the things that God has given. And that's the reason being is because we're in the book. I'm glad to know that I'm not just a child here that's got a church membership. Hey, I'm in Christ, Christ in me, and I'm in the word of the Lord, and he's got it written on the inside of my heart just like he does you if you're saved tonight. In the book of Psalm, chapter 1, the Bible said, blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and nor standeth in the way of the sinner, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, it's a blessing to be able to go with the right company, isn't it? And God wants us to know that. God wants us to be able to see that. Look in Psalm 32. You can turn to that, two passages out of it, and talking about the blessings of God that's upon us. Psalm 32, verse number 1 and 2. And he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, when the Lord looks at us tonight, if you're a child of God, whenever he looks at you, you've been covered by the blood. He's washed you and made you white as snow. Blessed, verse 2, is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. I want to say it's good to be forgiven tonight. It's good to know him and the free pardon of sin. over there in the book of Psalms, chapter number 119. In verse number 1 and 2 there, the psalmist that spoke and that noticed how that he was in fellowship and blessed with God, he looked in verse 1 and 2 and said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." I can tell you, not only has your wickedness been forgiven and cleansed, your walk now is different. "Blessed are they which keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart." Now, you know, I'm afraid that in the day and hour that we're living in, and I know we're not talking about present company, but you know what's wrong with the average Baptist and why it's dead as a hammer? Is that they're just kind of half-hearted going through the motion. God's not interested in that. He's interested in all of your heart and soul and mind and being, trusting him and being obedient unto him. Over in the book of Proverbs in chapter 8, and before we get to our text verses, but in Proverbs in chapter 8, verse number 32, and also in verse number 34, in the lesson that we're looking at, he says, verse 32, "Now, therefore, hearken to me, ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." But God's got his eye on it, doesn't he? "Hear the instruction and be wise, refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at the post of my doors." I want to say to you that when you begin to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, you're a blessed person because that your sins have been forgiven. He's changed your life. He's changed your lip. He's changed your walk. And let me tell you right now, is that he's got you in the way. He is the way, by the way, and the truth and the life. Number two, back in our text, if you will, please. Not only are we in the book, but we're in the blessed. In verse number 3, he said, "Blessed are they that are poor in spirit." In verse number 4, he talked about, "Blessed are they that mourn." In verse number 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." In verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." You know, if you're a blessed person, you're hungry for the things of God. You're not looking for another party, another game, another plan. You're just hungry and thirsty for the blessed word of the Lord. All those other things may be fine in and of themselves in the right place, but a child of God's hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Verse number 7, "Blessed are the merciful." Now, let me tell you right now, is if you've had mercy, it's going to make you merciful as yourself, no doubt about that. Verse number 8, "Blessed are they pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, did you notice that all these things that were mentioned in verse number 3 down through verse 7 is to prepare your heart to be a pure heart? You know, if you don't have those things operative in your life, that are operating in your life, then obviously you've got a little something wrong there inside your heart. You're not as much in fellowship with God as you ought to be, because these are things that prepare your heart to be pure in the sight of God and to be pure with fellow men. Now, I want you to look in verse number 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers." Now, you know, at a glance, when you look at it, while you turn to Matthew chapter number 10, about verse number 34. Now, at a glance, when you look at that, here's the way it is. You're either a peacemaker or you're a troublemaker. You're either a peacemaker or you're a sower of discord. You're either a peacemaker or somehow or another you're just completely out of fellowship with God. Now, that doesn't mean that you go along with anything and everything and everybody that comes up. I'm going to show you a passage. Jesus Christ was not a peacemaker. No. See that? Yeah. See, when people read that, they don't want you getting on their case about nothing. But whenever you read that, let me tell you, is that the peace that you and I are trying to do, we're trying to bring a sinner to recognize their need for Christ and have the peace of God that passeth all understanding in their heart. Look in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. He said, "Think not," Jesus talking, "think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Look at that. "For I come to set a man at variance against a father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be those of his own household." See, let me tell you something. We ought not to love anybody more than we love the Lord. And that sometimes is going to put a little rust on the blade among the family. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that our pure heart will issue forth the desire to be a peacemaker in the sight of God according to the example of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So whenever you look at that and say, well, you know, I don't like saying anything to anybody because I like to be a peacemaker. You've got it backwards. See? See, if you're a peacemaker, that means you're going to be able to introduce him to somebody that can give them the peace of God on the inside that can pass all understanding. Let me tell you, we're in the blessed book and we're in the blessed family of God. Number three, I want to say to you that when you get down by about verse number, let's see here, about verse number 11 of our text, look at that, is that now we're going to talk about we're in the battle. And let me tell you, nobody likes the battle part of it, but it's here, it's there, and it's going to be there until the day that Jesus comes again. And it's going to get worse and worse, men deceiving and being deceived, till Jesus comes again. But we're in the battle tonight, and that's what a pure heart is ready for. And if you're not got verse number 3, if you don't have verse number 3 down through verse number 9, if you ain't got that settled already and you got in your right place with God, it's going to be rough in the battlefront for you. Because notice, if you will, that here's a man that's pure in heart. And now he's facing persecution, and he's doing it for righteousness' sake. And the Bible said, blessed are you when every man shall look at it, revile you. That's not a pleasant part of the Christian life. And persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Now, you know, most of the time, if somebody says anything about us, we're far worse than what they're thinking. I mean, if you'll just be honest. I am what I am by the grace of God. I've said over and over again, if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now. You'd be there with me too. You'd be surprised how many people that offends up and down the road of life. I just wanted to say to you that, if you will, I don't want to make excuses for being ill-mannered or certainly for not being up front and right and in the sight of the Lord. But I want to tell you that if they're going to speak evil against us, let it be a false accusation that they're bringing. In this lesson that you're looking at, he said, excuse me, people that have accused you falsely, that means there's lies told on you. You ever had somebody tell a lie on you? I had a preacher one time that don't particularly like me one way or the other, but anyhow, somebody was saying something about me, and he said, hold on a minute here now. He said, I guarantee you, I know Dennis Anderson, and he's worthy of any criticism you want to throw his way, but you're telling a lie. I've known him for many, many years, and what you're telling is a lie. I can promise you right now we'll face him with it. And I forget what one of them said. Me and the wife was having trouble, and maybe it was when me and the wife was having a fuss fight or something like that, and they drove by and heard it. I don't know. Oh, you've never, you're probably more quiet with your fuss fights than. Some of these people, you know, some of these people that spout stuff like that off, they end up probably describing what they've got going on themselves. But it makes them feel better. I'm an easy target. I live in a glass house, and I'm a pretty easy target. If you're a child of God, so do you. But your glass house is probably not as thin or as big as the one that I'm living in. I got a lot of rock chunkers chunking it my way. I said all that to say this. Here's what God said, the way you ought to respond in verse number 12. And here it is. I'll rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, that's the reason why we ought to rejoice, is because, do you know that's the way they persecuted the prophets in days gone by? Now, here's what that tells me, that the word preached today will bring the same effect and opposition that it did back in the days when the prophets were preaching. The very same message, and it's not because of them, it's because of the message. It's not because of me being anything, it's because of the message. You see? So you can expect that every now and again that those prophets in the past, they had people rise up against them. The apostles, the saints of God, as the church of the Savior, they hated him, they'll hate you, he said. I want to say to you that it's our rejoicing whenever they persecute you and accuse you falsely for righteousness' sake. Last but not least, is that great is your reward. Now, we're going to be turning over there in the book of Revelation. We'll be turning there in a moment, chapter number 14, then chapter 22. But let me say to you, great is your reward in heaven. And when you look into that, you see that, is that there's a reward, certainly. God's not going to be our debtor. We've always been a debtor unto him. But one of these days, there's going to be a blessed reward, a great reward. In Revelation chapter 14, the Bible says, at about verse number 13, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Do you know, it doesn't make any difference if you're already in heaven or if you're already here on this earth and about to go to heaven. Whether you're living or dying, God said you're a blessed thing in the sight of God. Now, chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 7 and verse 14. I'm talking about rejoicing and being glad because of the great reward. Look in verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Verse 14. Blessed are they that notice, do, not just know about it, hear about it, but that obey it, that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. I want to tell you something. I look at all the turmoil and all the fuss and the fight and the feud and the atheistic-minded world that we're living in, the liberal bunch of Baptists that we have to identify with. And boy, I'm going to tell you something, is that if you'll just stay by the stuff, be obedient unto his word, not only hear what he said, but keep what he said and be obedient thereunto. I can tell you what will happen. Great will be your reward in heaven. You think God hadn't noticed that? You think God, you know, the Bible said over in Matthew, and I forget now, in one of them earlier parts of the chapter, 7 or 8, 9 or 10, but he talked about those that give a cup of water in his name shall in no wise lose their reward. Listen, do you think for one minute that God doesn't notice your obedience as well as your disobedience? Well, sure he does. Well, sure he does. Do you realize to know that because he's our God and because that we're his and he's living on the inside of us, listen, the very God that created everything that's here notices when a sparrow falls to the earth. And here's what he said, you're much more valuable to me than sparrows are. And he notices you and I too. Blessed, it's good to be in the blessed part of the family of God. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. And Lord, thank you now for the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God to lead us, guide us, direct us into all the truth. Thy word is the truth. And I pray you'd go with us to our homes. Help us to use our lip and life for the cause of Christ. And we'll say thank you in advance for